God in their minds and in their hearts, no worry about what they're supposed to do next. God, you're going to show them because they are leaders. And I pray that they would hear that tonight, every single one of them. And God, you've got incredible potential for every single one of them. A lot of them are flourishing in that potential, but you even have more. Some of them are maybe just discovering that potential. And God, I pray that they would walk out of here this semester with great confidence, God, that you're going to use them. And Lord, tonight, as we talk about achieving maximum potential, God, would you just speak to us tonight and challenge us as you have the entire semester? In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, well, let's jump right in here. You know, this entire past three semesters for you guys, and I don't know if you've just done straight three consecutive semesters. Maybe you broke it up a little bit. Maybe you took a semester off here or there. But as you've gone through the three semesters of Grow Track, it's meant to help you grow spiritually and to become effective disciples of Jesus. And it is intentional, as we said. I love being part of a church that's so intentional about people's growth. And what is effective discipleship? Well, Jesus gives us clear instructions on that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And we're going to read that here in just a minute. But how many of you know what that verse is meant, what the title of that passage of Scripture is called? Matthew chapter 28. Anybody? The Great Commission, right? And so God gives this Great Commission, and he says, go and make disciples. Effective disciples, guys, make effective disciples. And here's the deal. I'm going to hammer this in tonight. You are leaders in this room. God has called you. You've grown through this intentional growth process through Grow Track 1, 2, and 3. Many of you are already making disciples, but God wants to use you as an effective disciple to make other effective disciples. Every single one of you. You don't have to have pastor in front of your name or missionary in front of your name or whatever it may be to be a disciple maker. He's called all of us to do that, right? And so we're finishing tonight. The Great Commission is the focus of the final week in all three Grow Tracks, right, at each level. But for you guys, the emphasis is especially important because you're finishing tonight. This part of this season is coming to an end. And I tell you what, when we did this, Rayla, you were part of that first group, weren't you? In the mask, you were part of that first group, right? It was what? This is the third Grow Track 3, I think? Yeah, this is the third one. I remember that first one, Pastor Talia and I thinking, and you were in there too, we were thinking, man, everybody's going to be like, yes, let's go. But I was kind of surprised. Some people were like a little bit deer in the headlights, a little bit scared, like, what now? What do I do now? And some of you may feel that way, but I want you to be encouraged tonight that you, again, you're a leader. God's calling you to do great things, not just here at Timber Creek and step out in leadership, but in life and in work and in your family in different ways. But we're basically going to talk tonight, achieving maximum impact for God's kingdom. We're going to talk about this idea of evangelism. God has called us in this world to know him, to love him, to serve him, but also to make an impact in this world and share the love of Christ with other people and with this world around us, hasn't he? I mean, he definitely has, and we're going to talk about that. And there's this equation that's up here I want to talk to you guys about. HP plus CP plus CC equals MI. How many of you, your brain just hurt a little bit going back to days in school? I look at that and praise the Lord, my Bible college didn't have any math. I was so thankful for that. And so I was done with math after high school until I had kids, and now my fifth grader's coming to me and I can't even help him. HP plus CP plus CC equals MI. And we're going to talk about this equation. And it's this idea, it's an equation for effective evangelism. And God has called you, every single one of you guys, to share the love of Jesus. What is evangelism? Anybody? Sharing the gospel, right? And you don't have to be an evangelist to do that. As I said, you don't have to have pastor in front of your name. He's called every one of you guys to evangelize, to be an evangelist, so to speak, in your walk of life, in your workplace, in your family, right? And so let's talk about that. Going back here again, let me read Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, this Great Commission. These are kind of the last words of Jesus before he ascends into heaven to his disciples, and he says this. Then in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Everybody say go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so we find this heart of the Great Commission, this heart for evangelism, that's not just for Jesus, not just for those disciples, it's for all of us, right? To go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Each and every one of you guys are called to do that, right? And one of the most frustrating things in life can be when you're being told what to do without being given a clear idea on how to go do it. Anybody ever been in that kind of situation? Maybe in the workplace, a new job. Larry, you work on remodeling, right? You do a lot of air conditioning work, is that right? So if Larry just said, hey man, you can come hang out with me tomorrow, and I show up at the work site, and you're just like, I need you to go fix that air conditioner. Have fun. Like, I would be like, dude, I can't, I wouldn't know what to do, right? And that would be frustrating for me, and I would frustrate you because not much would happen because I wouldn't know what to do, right? You know, the ought to comes through loud and clear sometimes in some situations, and yet the how to many times remains distant and kind of muffled and is if it's heard at all, right? And sometimes that can happen when it comes to this idea of evangelism. You'll even hear a pastor, a preacher say this, you know, hey, people are lost. They'll be standing in the pulpit. The people are lost, he says. They're headed for hell, and God wants to reach them. And you are his chosen people. You are his chosen ambassador to go and make a difference. So you had better get out there and you better bring them to Christ. And we all say, yeah, amen. And then we're like, okay, now how do we do that? Right? And some people can naturally do that, but then some people are like, I know I need to do that, but what does that look like? What do I need? That's right, we are not all Alvin Vanderleest. Man, that guy's amazing. And he just cracks me up. Man, he goes after anybody and everybody. Love his heart. And we hear that, but sometimes we don't know how to do it. The good news is that Jesus never calls us without equipping us to complete the task successfully that he's given us. That's just the way it is. And he left us a formula over 2,000 years ago when he sat with his followers on that side of that hill there and what we just read, right? And there he gave them, and for us today, it's still for us today, this formula, this equation that should be used when reaching those who are lost. And again, guys, you're called to reach those who are lost. You can do it. You've been equipped. God's given you the tools. And if you're sitting here tonight a little bit nervous, and you're like, what do I do now? You can do it. God has given you what you need to do it. And so let's jump into this equation here. And I'm going to start with the answer, the MI. The MI stands for maximum impact, okay? Maximum impact. And this is our goal, right? The greatest spiritual influence possible to those around us. We want to have maximum impact in our life every single day, and in our walk of life, and in everything that we do. You know, when it comes to our family, when it comes to our workplace, as followers of Jesus, you've just gone through 3 semesters of Grow Track. You've been stretched in a way maybe you've never been stretched before. How many of you completed Live Dead? Be honest, right? It's tough, right? It's a challenge. And I've read it a couple times, and it's a challenge, man. That time tithe, that's a challenge, you know? But man, when we spend that kind of extravagant time with Jesus, there can become this maximum impact on the lives around us, the people that we're around, who we work with, who we interact with every day. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, and it's a familiar verse that's read many times, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Many people take that verse and they stop right there. I love the first part of that verse, amen? I mean, it's true. The Holy Spirit does empower us. But it goes on to say, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And God filled them with power through the Holy Spirit. Why? To be his witnesses, right? Did you fill them just with power just to speak in another tongue and gain attention from everybody else and be like, ooh and ah? No, like he filled us with his power so that we could be his witnesses. And we are his witnesses. He's called us into Jerusalem. He's called you here in Lufkin, in your workplace, in your sphere of influence. And he's called us. Matthew 28, 19, 20 that we just read a little while ago, it tells us to go into the whole world and spread the gospel message and to lead people to Christ and then baptize them and build them up in the faith. Sometimes that looks like you really getting to share the Bible with them and a scripture with them, and it happens fast. Sometimes that's a long, long road with individuals, and that's okay. And sometimes it's in between. Sometimes it's just people watching you live your life, you know? Sometimes you're verbally able to share the love of Christ with them, and sometimes that door's not open, and it's just you living life in front of them. And then watching you not be perfect, but walk through the storms of life, walk through the challenging times of your life, and that is such a powerful witness as well. And they begin to see that, and they just begin to think, man, how have you handled all these storms in your life? How have you handled all these situations in your life? And bam, there's that open door to share the gospel with them and share Christ with them. Okay, so that's the goal, is that maximum impact. But let's go back to the front of the equation, HP. HP stands for high potency, right? There should be this high potency, okay? So if Christians are going to influence those who don't know the Lord, then you must have high potency, right? Which means you got to have a strong enough concentration of Christ influence in your life and in your lives that his power and his presence will be undeniable to the people around you that don't know Jesus. How does that happen? It happens from us spending time with Jesus. That's why we've pushed you a little bit here in Go Track 3 about, you know, not just reading the Bible occasionally, not just reading the Bible every day, but digging into the Word of God. Pushing a little bit deeper and a little bit further by spending a little bit more extravagant time with Jesus. Not just reading the Bible, but praying the scriptures that you're reading. Praying them out loud. Spend a little bit more time in worship and in prayer and in Bible reading every single day, right? And so that's so important. And if we don't do that, then we lose that potency, right? And we need to have that high potency if we're going to make a difference in people's lives and share the gospel, right? Another thing is this. In Christ's Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these famous words. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot." And so the Lord uses this illustration of salt that they were familiar with, we're familiar with. He wants all of his followers to see themselves as salt, and he wants to see them as light in the way that they live. So what does salt do for us today? Anybody? What does salt do for us? Other than too much of it makes us unhealthy, right? But what does salt do for us? It savors the flavor, preserves, makes you thirsty. Man, you guys are good. You pretty much said all these points. Is it behind me? I was wondering if it was behind me. Right? It cleanses, yeah? Yeah? Here in your notes, salt makes us thirsty, right? Number one, it makes us thirsty. And how is that relevant to us in our walk with Christ and those around us? My question to you guys and to me, and I ask myself too, are those around you and around me, are they thirsty for what you have? Right? Because if you're running after Jesus and you're excited about who he is and you're excited about what he's done in your life and you're growing, you're continuing to take the tools that you've been given from Go Track 1, 2, and 3 and you're putting them into practice and you're growing, the people around you who are so hungry and thirsty for something different, they're going to get more thirsty because you're producing that kind of salt because of the life that you're living, the life that you're leading in your life. And so it's a good question for all of us. Are those that who are around us, are they thirsty for what we have? They might not know what it is. They might know that it's Jesus, but they know that something's missing, and we've got to make that them thirst for Jesus, right? Again, salt adds flavor and spice, right, to bland food. Hallelujah, right? How many of you love salty, you know, salt and seasoning on your food, right? I grew up in Southeast Texas, real close to Louisiana, and so I love some Cajun food and spices and all that kind of stuff. Got to have it. And I remember when I lived in France for 2 years, they don't do that. They don't want to mess with the meat. They don't want to, like, a steak. Like, they don't do anything. It's like, it's got to be all natural, you know? And it's like, no, this is nasty. Like, you got to add some salt, man. You got to cook this right. You got to marinate this in something. And, man, it was a tough 2 years when I got home. I'll just tell you, the pastries and all that kind of stuff, amazing. The coffee, amazing. But the food, really, really expensive and really not really all that great, in my opinion. But anyway, salt adds flavor and spice to bland food. And so here's the deal. We should enhance. What does that mean for us in our life? We should enhance and benefit the people around us. We because of Jesus in our life, it should add some flavor and some spice to people's life. Like, wow, you know, joy, right? When you have joy, unspeakable joy in your life, people should notice it and wonder, man, how does he have joy and how does she have joy even though she's walking through the midst of a challenging time here at work and transitions and working for a boss that we all want to kick out the door, but yet I have. That's why I'm walking closer over here. And so even in those circumstances, there's this joy and that type of joy, right, that only comes from Jesus because we make the decision, okay, I'm not working for him or her. I'm working as unto the Lord every day. Lord, help me get out of this job maybe one day, but I'm here for this season, and so God, I'm working unto you, not towards him or her. So God, give me joy even in the circumstances that I'm in. And people see that and they think, man, that's like a spice. That's like adding flavor, you know? And so we should enhance and benefit the people around us, right? The other thing is salt preserves food, as one of you guys said, and it holds back and prevents decay. And so we should be preserving a godly influence on our culture, right? Does that mean we have to stand up on a soapbox and tell everybody they're going to hell and that they're wrong? No. But as we grow in Jesus, as we grow in Christ, man, our life shines. Our light is that salt, and it preserves our relationship with the Lord, right? But it's a godly influence on the world, the culture around us as well, right? All right. So what did Jesus mean when he said that we are to be salt, the salt of the earth? We as Christians should make the lost spiritually thirsty of the things of God. We just should. And when we just get kind of in the routine, guys, and I beg you guys, right, don't lose what you've been taught in Grow Track. Please, you know, keep up the routine. Keep up the ritual of meeting with the Lord every day. You know, and I know there's those crazy days, but stay in that ritual of getting up with the Lord. If it's the morning and that's your time, get up and do it. If it's in the evening, it's worth sacrificing certain things to make sure that's happening, right? So that you stay fresh and the people around you that are lost and don't know Jesus, they become more spiritually thirsty because they're around you and because of your influence on their life. Our lifestyle should stimulate a spiritual thirst for Christ deep inside of their souls when they're around us. We as Christians should add some spice to others' lives, right? Whether by an encouraging word, by sharing what the Lord has done in our lives and in our families, or by waking people up with godly challenges and seemingly radical points of view. You know, we do that by just our lives and sharing how God's helped us, how he's walked with us through situations and circumstances, all the joy of what God's done in our life, it should add some spice to others. And then finally, we as Christians should do everything possible to prevent those who do not know Christ from spiritually decaying and spending an eternity in hell separated from God's love forever. That's the reality. And we want to do everything we can. We have a responsibility, right? We're not supposed to just get filled up on Grow Track and kind of sit back on the pew and go to the next thing, which, yeah, it's great for us, but just stay there and not share what God's done and not be salt in this earth, right? God's called us to go out into this world and to be that salt in the world around us. In order for salt to have the greatest possible impact on this world around us, we must be potent enough to have an effect, right? The only way that we obtain high potency is by spending time with him. Guys, I say it again, spending time with him daily, right? Reading and studying his word daily. Guys, again, when Grow Track 3 stops after tonight and after next week and after you have the celebration and you start getting into the, you go to Thanksgiving with your family and all of a sudden weeks later is Christmas and things just, this is that transition where life and holidays just happen. Don't lose what God's been doing in your life. Don't stop, guys. Please, I'm begging you. Don't stop what God's been doing. Don't stop spending time with Jesus every single day. Because what he's doing in your life is real, it's amazing, and he wants us to keep growing and keep going. You guys agree? All right. Also, for any impact to take place, salt has to get close. I love this part, right? Salt has to get close to, if you're talking salt and meat, salt and food, it's got to get close to whatever it is that it's supposed to affect, right? On your table at home, how many of you have salt shakers, right? How many of you have just the regular old paper one that says salt, or how many of you have like fancy ones? Anybody got fancy ones at home, right? What'd you say? Electric. Oh, wow, she's real fancy. There you go. So we can set it on the table, the fancy ones, right? And it can look fancy, it can look nice, but if there's no salt in it, it has no effect, right? And so that's, unfortunately, many Christians' lives, many people's lives. It just looks fancy on the outside, like everything's together, but there's no salt because they spent no time, right? And so, but in order for that salt to work, right, it's got to be filled up. And I love just that idea. Jesus may have chosen the salt metaphor because salt requires both potency and proximity. I love that, right? It's not just the potency of it. It's also the proximity to do what it's created to do, right? You've got to be in close proximity. In other words, you got to get out in the world. You've got everybody, I'm sure, around these tables have people in their lives that need Jesus. And you got to have close proximity. And that leads us to CC, or CP, I'm sorry. CP stands for close proximity. We've got to have close proximity to those we hope to reach and minister to in order for his power to flow through us and have its intended effect, right? It's got to happen. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said that the salt, that salt that is without savor and of inferior quality is worthless. And I don't want to be that. I want to be all that God's called me to be, and I want to have an effect in this world. It's lost its power when it's like that, right? It will not create much thirst in the people around, okay? It won't add much spice. It won't prevent decay. Right? Because it's lost its saltiness. Also, salt cannot produce any results unless it touches something. Did you guys hear that? It can't do anything unless it touches something. And I know sometimes it's so easy in your workplace, so easy in your family. Many of us are going to sit around the table in, 2 weeks with some family members that we're so thankful we only see them for 3 hours, 4 hours on November, that fourth November week of the year. And it's so easy to get frustrated and not see what God's doing. You know, we have to get in close proximity with those people. We have to get in close proximity with the people in the world. Do we have to be of the world and like the world? No, absolutely not. God's called us to be in the world, not of it, but he's called us to be salt in this world. And that salt's got to touch something before something can happen, right? And so there's got to be that close proximity. Again, salt cannot produce any results unless it actually touches something. Who has God put in your life right now that he's called you to be salt? Becky Piper once wrote this. She said, unless salt gets poured out of the shaker, it remains a mere table ornament. I love that, right? And God's done so much in you guys for 3 semesters. He's ready to pour you out. He's ready to use what God's done in your life, right? And pour that salt shaker, right? In the same way, unless we allow our salt to be poured out on the lost and people that don't know Jesus, we will not be effective as Christians. And God called us to be effective disciples, right? I would not be here today if it weren't for people pouring out that salt in my life and showing me who Jesus was and discipling me and spending that time with me. I'm so thankful that they did that. It's the same for us. We've got to do that for other people, right? So that's CP, close proximity. How about CC? That stands for clear communication. So, clear communication. So he talks about salt in that passage, but he also talks about light. Without light, things would not be clear or visible, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So we are to allow our light that's in us to shine in the dark lives of those around us. Our light makes things visible, guys. It makes things visible. And it might be light outside, but there's so much darkness in this world, and we need to allow the light within us to become visible. And it helps the lost to see the reality of their spiritual condition. And without that light, they're not going to see it, right? We also need to be able to clearly and attractively present God's truth to others, illuminating it in order to show it for what it really is. Does this mean you have to be perfect? No, right? It doesn't. Dude, nobody's perfect, right? You don't have to be perfect. This also doesn't mean, God, guys, there's going to be moments when God gives you a moment, and if God speaks to you to even walk up to a stranger and share a scripture with them or share the love of Christ with somebody, we would do it, right? But many times, too, like I said earlier, sometimes it's just a beautiful gift and opportunity God gives us. Sometimes it's just an investment. It's an investment of weeks and months and years in somebody's life. And you have to be willing to do that. And we've got to be willing to invest in that relationship. I think about this. I don't think I shared this in this with this group. But it'll be 2 years this spring, my son decided to play baseball. And we're so busy here at Timber Creek Church. I don't know if y'all noticed. We're busy all the time. And, you know, I'm thankful for my kids playing sports because it sometimes gives me an opportunity to get to know people outside the church, you know, because we're always so busy. And so my son played baseball 2 years ago. He's since retired, he said. He's done. He played one season. He was done. I think it was because he got hit by the ball once. By that pitcher that was like three times his size. We played that year, and from the very first practice to the end of the season, there's this other little boy that Landon knew named Wyatt. And Landon and Wyatt are like the same height, the same, and they were just kind of became buddies. Well, his dad and I just began to talk from the very first practice. And every practice, every game, we just kind of gravitated towards each other. Well, baseball ended in like May, June, somewhere around there. And we just stayed in contact. Landon and Wyatt would kind of hang out. Wyatt would come over and stuff. And we would always end up just talking. And a lot of our conversations started turning from, you know, just talking and small talk to like, hey, what's your thoughts on this? Hey, we're, you know, kind of walking through. They had an older daughter that's a year older than my oldest. And he's like, hey, we're walking through this with our daughter. What do you think? And it started turning towards like, what's your thoughts? What's your advice? And it was cool. I mean, and I didn't always have time for the lunches. I didn't always have time for the coffee. But I just knew God was up to something. And a year went by. I think it was a year. A year went by. And we still kept, there would be some weeks at a time that we didn't talk, but we ended up kept talking. And then finally one day we went to breakfast. And we walked out of breakfast, and he was beginning to make a decision to switch companies that he works for. It was a big decision for him and his family. And he was a little nervous about it. And we walked out of Cracker Barrel one morning, and he just said, you know, it transitioned from talking about that big transition for him and his family to like, you know, I feel like I was meant for more. I feel like God's like maybe up to something, that this decision is part of something God's doing in my life. And he's like, I'd really like to talk about this some more. And I didn't have time for it at the time, but I said, just come back to my office. I got a book I want to give you. And he came back. This is like a year after that baseball season, like a year and a half almost. And we go back to my office, and he just began to open up. And I just began to ask questions, and I finally got to ask those questions I've been wanting to ask for like a year and a half. And I finally just like, man, have you ever made a decision for Christ? And he just began to cry, this really nice guy, tough guy. And I led that guy to the Lord in my office, you know, just on a Thursday after giving him that book. But it was a long, like, year and a half investment into that guy's life. And I could have been too busy and just said no. Does he go to our church? No, they're still going. They're starting to go to another church. I'd love it if they came to Timber Creek, but that's not what it's about. What it was about was that Thursday and being able to invest in his life. And so I'm just using that as an example, guys, that we need to be able to clearly and attractively present God's truth to others. And sometimes that's an immediate open window right then and there where you get to share your story. But sometimes it's a long, long, drawn-out investment, and it's worth that investment. Right? For some of you, it's been even longer. Some of you, it's that family member that you just keep praying for, and you keep walking with them, and they're still a bonehead, but you love them, and you just keep walking with them, right? But clear communication. Next thing is this. We should model a lifestyle that will stand in contrast to their dark, empty lives without Christ. We've got to model that for them. Again, it doesn't mean perfection. None of us are. But I tell you what, I'm so excited for you guys because the investment you've made for three semesters, you're different than you were three semesters ago. Every single one of you. And you're modeling a lifestyle that is different and is attractive to other people in a way that's, man, what do they have in their life? And they're going to want to know what it is. Jesus wants his followers to be able to spiritually illuminate others, not only by living out his teachings, but also by explaining his message of forgiveness and grace with precision and accuracy, right? Matthew chapter 5, 15 and 16, it says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Right? Another great scripture, Romans 10, 14. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them?" God has called you guys as leaders to have high potency, to have close proximity with them, to have clear communication, which is going to produce this maximum impact that we were talking about. And God's called you to evangelize, to be disciplers of other people in this world, just like you've been discipled. Just like you've been discipled before Grow Track and during Grow Track, God wants to use you guys. And so let me kind of close up with this, and then we'll transition a little bit. I know Mark's got some stuff for you guys, too, at the end. But all that you have learned in these three semesters of Grow Track, Grow Track 1, 2, and 3, is meant to help you grow spiritually. I said this earlier, but it's not so that you can be full of knowledge, guys. Knowledge is great, but if we just sit on that knowledge, what good is it, right? You know, it's not so you can just be full of knowledge, but so that you can be effective disciple makers, disciples of Jesus. Again, and we talked about it. We've got, as Matthew 28 said, 28:18, the Great Commission says, "Go and make disciples." The Great Commission is the focus of this week, all throughout the Grow Tracks, as I said earlier. And we want you guys to leave not only inspired by this, but equipped. You guys know that you're equipped. You are equipped, right? And committed to respond to the Great Commission. It's time to make a difference, guys. It really is. It's time to fulfill your God-given potential. And I just, I've been through this three times now that I know there's probably some of you that are thinking, what do I do now? Maybe I'm a little bit scared. I don't know what to do next. And I just want you to hear, you're ready. Everybody look at me. You're ready. Can I just say too, fight the spectator mentality. Don't do that. Don't be a spectator. Don't take what you've learned for three semesters. You know what? We're glad you're here, but don't go sit on those pews just on Sunday morning. Don't just do that. God's got so much more for you guys. He really, really does, and you're ready. I remember meeting with some of that first semester Grow Track, three people in my office. They want to meet with me afterwards, and they're just kind of like, I don't know what to do. You know, I think I want to do this. I think God's telling me to do this, and I'm like, yeah, you're ready. You're ready to go do that. One of them was James Copeland. What's he doing? He's in there as a coach now. You know, he's been a group leader, and it was like he just needed that somebody to look him in the eye and say, you're ready. You got this. Is it scary? Yeah, it's a little bit scary, right? It's an adventure, right? Following the Lord, trusting the Lord, and being in obedience with him, it's a stinking adventure, guys. It's not boring. It won't be boring, and there's going to be some times that you step out and have to trust the Lord, but every one of you are ready. You're ready to do what's next and what God's called you to do. We won't keep this to ourselves. I love that value, one of the strong values of our church. God has called us to not keep this to ourselves, to share what the Lord's done in your life. Can I just be kind of real with you guys a little bit more? Some of you are Dream Team members. He's got more for you. Thankful for our Dream Team members. I'm thankful that you're a Dream Team member. But a lot of you guys, if you've been through three parts of Grow Track, you got more potential than just being a Dream Team member. Okay? You really, really do. Yeah, but my personality is this. It doesn't matter. God wants to use you in an incredible way, right? Dream Team members a lot are for our people that come out of Starting Point, right? It's that dip your toe in the water kind of first experience where we teach them a lot of important things, but our goal is to get them through Starting Point, get them on a Dream Team, serving as a Dream Team member, and get them in a Grow Track like you guys have done. And I just want to encourage you guys and challenge you guys. I talked to Taylor today. we were talking about next semester in the spring, and if it's okay, I want to plug an area that I think some of you guys would be great at, okay? We got a lot of great things. Some of you could be great team leaders on a team. Many of you could be great team coaches eventually. Some of you may be team leaders, and maybe it's time, you've been feeling that nudge, it's time for you to become a coach in some area. We need group leaders. Can I just say that? God has done so many incredible things through Grow Track and Encounter and groups over the last 3 years. But we really need some group leaders. We need to build, continue to build that sense of community in our church. The larger we have grown, it's crazy how God, what God has done. How many of you have been here for 3, 4 years, 5 years? Many, many years ahead of that for some of you guys. Been here longer than that. But I've been here almost 5 years. It's hard to believe. And just what's happened in 5 years is insane. It's just crazy to see what God's done. And it all has been God. But the larger we grow, the more important it is that we have group leaders. We need it, guys. We need to have a sense of community. And group leaders are not just, well, I don't know if I can do a book study. I don't know if I'm an Ann Lewis that could get up there and do a book study and do this or do that. I don't know if I'm a Pam Mask or a Jeff Mask and I could do this and lead the different groups that they lead with Caleb's. How many of you could just open your home? You know, my wife and I for, 3 years, we just bought a new home. And one of the most things I'm excited about this new home is having a family group again in my home. Love that. That's been so much fun. There's no agenda. There's no teaching. I don't teach. There's no curriculum. We just literally invite other families. Trent, you've been a part of it. Shane and Candace have done it many times at their house too, where we just have families over and we eat food. Hallelujah. We just eat food. It's controlled chaos. Like really, like kids just run around and break my house and it's okay. It's all right. The last group we had like, I think all boys. And it was a mess every Sunday night when we'd have that group. But I just love it because we just have a different theme for food, you know, twice a month, you know, and that theme. And people would come over and we'd eat and we'd just hang out. And sometimes it was just the men and I talking in one room and Ellie and the wives. And then some weeks it was all of us together. Sometimes we'd play a game. But we'd always pray at the end and pray as families. And that's all it is, because you do that, because that's needed so much. And so there's so many different opportunities that we want you to consider, and groups is one of them. I'd love to see more of our groups grow this semester. We're excited about introducing groups for the very first time in Nacogdoches this spring. We got a goal of 10 or more groups just in Nacogdoches alone, but we want to see it built back up here in Lufkin too. But most importantly, that's my commercial for groups. You know, I used to be the solely the groups guy. Now Taylor's doing a lot of it. But I still love groups. That's just my heartbeat and want to see that grow. But most importantly, I know I've said it a bunch of times, you're leaders in this room. You're ready. You're ready. You've done a lot. You know, you've been a great leader in a lot of different capacities. You're ready for more. Liz, Chris, you're ready for more, guys. You know, God's calling you, okay? You've done so much. You've done so many incredible things. You're meant for more. God's got more for you. Curtis, you're ready, man. You know, whatever that is, begin praying about it. Go into this holiday season. Over here on this table, I mean, you guys are ready. You're ready, you know? And whatever that may be, begin praying about it. It might be scary, and you may want to talk to somebody about it. Come talk to me. Talk to Taylor. Talk to Mark. We're here for you guys, and if you want to talk through that, because that's what we ended up doing, I noticed, after Grow Track 3 that first semester. Just had a lot of meetings in my office, and I loved it because we could talk through that. But at the end of the day, every single one of you, you guys are totally, totally ready for that next step and that potential that God has for you. And again, not just here at Timber Creek, not just here, but out in life, in this world, everything that God's got for you. Amen? Okay, you guys still love me? All right, cool. Well, let me pray for you, and then I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Mark. Does that sound good? God, we love you. What a great semester. What a great room of leaders, God. This is the most people we've graduated out of Grow Track 3 in those first three semesters. God, it's just exciting. But God, what's most exciting to me is to know that lives are going to be different in the world around us because of the people in this room. And God, as we've said tonight, God, you've called us to evangelize. God, you've called us to be salt and light in this world. And God, I pray that you would give these guys courage. God, I pray for courage right now for every person around these tables. I pray for confidence. God, for some of them, Their heart might be beating right now because they're like, man, I know God's calling me to more. I'm just scared. Or I feel inadequate. Maybe they're still feeling guilty for their past or feeling like, God, can you actually really use me? Because I used to be a big mess up. God, those are lies from the enemy. And everyone around these tables, God, you have redeemed them. You've restored them. You've forgiven them. You've healed them. And God, it's time, God, for them to step out and trust you. They're ready, God. I pray that you would challenge them, God, that you would encourage them to step out and reach their God-given potential in every way that they can. And God, as we talk tonight, just evangelize. Share their story. God, pray for the people they work with. Pray for those individuals, God, that you've brought into their life, Lord God, that sometimes we're so busy we forget to stop for a minute and say, okay, God, wait. Who are the coworkers that I need to speak into their lives? Who are the ones I need to really pray for on a more consistent basis? And God, as you open the door and give us opportunity to share the love of Christ with, give them the courage, give them the strength, give them the words to say. Holy Spirit, give them the words to say in those moments. And God, I pray that lives would be changed because of the people and the leaders in this room. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome.